And good morning, listeners, to the Round 17 edition of the Saturday Morning VFL Football Show on KC Radio 97.7 FM. Kane Pollard and also Jim Hines in the studio this morning for a big weekend review, preview, and start getting warmed up for the final, Jim. We're only 3 weeks away, or four rounds of football left to go before we get right into the nitty-gritty parts of the season. And it is starting to shape up now, of the final eight really starting to take some shape. And we've had some wonderful finishes so far in season 2009, as heard there with Cameron Richardson kicking the goal against the Pies to get North Ballarat over the line. But last weekend, wow, was the only game I got to broadcast was on the Saturday, and I've never been involved in a finish like that before. Never actually been to the football to see a finish like that before.
Agreed. Yep, so, same here. Never seen a kick before the siren, the ball in the air, and then the ball going through after the siren's finished blowing. And a pack of players in the goal square actually missed the ball entirely. So there you go.
It was just a
unique finish.
But the whole game was ebbing and flowing. I mean, the first half was
shocking.
Was some of the worst football we've seen.
We have to admit, the conditions were fairly ordinary for a good game of football.
But the second half, the rain had cleared, and the slippery conditions were no longer. But unfortunately, modern-day football,
I reckon they're using a different type of ball these days, because in the past, when the ball got wet, it was easy to control. It got sticky, where now, it just slides out of your hand.
The first half was riddled with mistakes and players turning over the football. This is Coburg and Box Hill we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And players couldn't even grip the ball. They couldn't do a 1-2 hand pass without the second person losing grip of it. It was like they were playing with a bar of soap. And then the sun cleared, the rain away, and the moisture from the conditions, and we saw a really two teams going at it. And I think in the last quarter it would have been about four or five lead changes. I thought Ben Clifton's shot on goal for Coburg with about 2 minutes to go would have been enough. But unfortunately not. It was the Box Hill Hawks winning, as we mentioned, after the siren. They were trailing by 1 point when Sam Miles' kick from 50 metres was in the air. The siren went, and as Jim mentioned, the players in the goal square, well, I think, were a bit more bemused by anything, and they didn't actually touch the ball, bouncing through. I think we've got a copy of the last
moments. 3 and a bit minutes.
Well, this is the round 16.
Do you want to hear it now?
Yeah, we may as well. This is the round 16 clash from last weekend.
So they all went up and they all came down. Not too sure which way the free kick would go. He can go to the outer side here and use Caruso. No one's standing on the mark, so he takes his time. Second bounce. Third bounce. He's about to be run down from behind by Peterson. He got it over to Rayson. Now they're in trouble. They're tied along the pocket. He has to kick it up to a contest. Clark used his body very well against his opponent there in Keel. So Clark just slaps it forward as well, looking for Gilligan, who takes the mark.
Great experience.
There's no one inside forward 50, so Gilligan just has to hold it. He's kicked it up.
That's a bad kick.
The only one there back at home was Campbell. He should have gone for a contest. So Campbell looking to get the ball on quickly. Uze in space. Mark's on the half back line. And that's where he's gone towards Mustin. Kerno in support. Decides to use Isles instead. Isles gets the 50. There's a shot on goal. There's the shot. He's won the game. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Isles had a shot on goal in air. The ball, the siren went, the vacant goal square, and they've won the game. There's arguing going on the goal line. Will the goal be paid?
Hang on.
Did he kick before the siren went?
Kane, he's got to pay it.
We have to wait, Nick. The players are in conjecture here. Matthew Brown with the final decision.
Hit the 3 minutes.
We just have to wait. They're still talking about it.
Everyone thinks the umpires have agreed on it.
We'll just wait for the final decision here.
It's a goal.
Can they win by 5 points, the Box Hill Hawks? The umpires there, they're jumping around the Box Hill Hawks. It's a goal! And can you believe it here at ABD Group Stadium? I have never seen a decision made after the siren. The shot on goal, the siren went. Isles, from 50 metres out, has won Box Hill the game.
Round 16 has come and gone, and we will go through those details, obviously, throughout the morning. We've got two guests joining us on this Saturday morning. David Teague from the Northern Bull Ants and also Simon Atkins from the Werribee Football Club. The Tigers still just holding on to a brief chance of playing in September. And we'll speak to David Teague. The Northern Bull Ants really starting to return to some form, and obviously an impressive win by the Carlton side last night against the Cats.
Yeah, very impressive. If this doesn't work, I'll go and make a copy of the file and I'll bring it back for later.
No
problem. Here we go again. No.
Nothing there?
Definitely not. Okay. I don't know why, because I listened to it the other day.
Well, you better... all right, you go and do that, and I'll start getting into the round 17 preview, and we'll go through some results from round 16. Big weekend for the VFL. AFL Victoria and the crew are making their way down to Morwell for the ABC game this afternoon. The Casey Scorpions versus North Ballarat. And you'd have to admit, for North Ballarat to leave at Sparrows this morning, they're probably on their way down, making their way towards Morwell. It probably wouldn't be a bigger road trip in the VFL calendar than this one, but it is important for the VFL and their community partnership with the CFA, and it should be a fantastic day down there for everybody involved. The Casey Scorpions continue their impressive form of late, and they'll be looking to try and impress against North Ballarat. Unfortunately for the Scorpions, they went down last weekend to the Cats, and as Jim mentioned on the program, when he went through about the halfway mark of the season, he went through and gave his selections on who should win and who shouldn't. He said the Cats will actually be featuring in the finals. Well, after round 16 and their win over the Casey Scorpions, the Cats are actually one game in the eight, so they could nearly bolster their chances this weekend with another strong performance if they are to go to 9 wins. They currently sit in 7th position. And the Zebras, well, they're like a yo-yo at the moment, in and out of the 8. They're sitting in 8th position with a very healthy percentage over the Pies.
That was a remarkable finish to the Geelong-Casey game on last weekend. In the history of their recent form, how many games since 2003? I think it's 9. The Cats had averaged 99 points in those games, and they finished on 100. And Casey averaged 97 points, and they finished on 96. So it was true to their history. I've never seen it that close in average scores, so I thought I'd bring that one up.
Okay. Well, 3 points.
I'll be back.
Okay, so I thought you must have got the article that we needed, the recording of last weekend's dramatic finishes. Well, because we're a little bit stuck for time, the NPNFL footy show went a little bit past, and we've got our first guest at 9:30. We don't really have much time to diddle and daddle on the Saturday morning VFL football show. I notice the real reason why Jim keeps walking in and out of the studio is because I couldn't talk about the Poms and their poor performance last night, being dismissed for 102. I'll wait for him to come back into the studio. Let's quickly go through some of the round 16 results from last weekend. As Jim mentioned, the Cats, 15 goals, 10-100. Defeated the Casey Scorpions 14-12-96. A gallant performance by the Casey Scorpions once again, but Pods was on fire, kicking 6 goals, and he's only 6 goals behind Nick Sortner on the overall goal-kicking tally for the season. North Ballarat and Williamstown, some people thought this might be the preview for the grand final. The Roosters were too strong, 14-14-98. Defeated the Seagulls 11-11-77. Traditionally, travelling up to North Ballarat has not been a good hunting ground for the Seagulls, and the Roosters were too strong there once again. We'll go through the final moments of this game, but the Coburg Tigers, 14-11-95, lost to the Box Hill Hawks, 14-16-100, and with 2 seconds to go, it was the Coburg Tigers actually in front by 5 points. The Sunday broadcast game, hopefully it went pretty well. From all reports, it did. The Northern Bulldogs continue their impressive run of form of late. They won 10 goals, 11-71, defeated the Collingwood side 9-9-63. Bentick kicking 3 was the leading goal kicker there for the Bulldogs, and Chris Dawes did enough to get promoted. He kicked 2 goals for the Pies. The Battle of the Standalone Club saw the Dolphins 10-7-67 defeat the Burra 12-14-86. And for the Burra, Dalton kicked 3, obviously moving from defence into the forward line. And the Skunk, Justin Berry, well, he's battling hard still there for the Dolphins. He kicked 3 goals as well. Bendigo Bombers, well, they continued their disappointing season of 2009, going down to the Sandringham side. Bendigo Bombers kicking 5 goals in the last quarter added some respectability to their final results. The Bendigo Bombers 12-8-80, defeating the Zebras 14-15-99. So at round 16, here is the ladder with 4 games to go. Will we see much of a shift here? I wouldn't think so. I think the teams that are in there now should go through and play in September action. Williamstown are still one game clear on top, but they have a bye to go, which is next week. So you can see their ladder position change. They've got 8% on the Roosters, who are in second position. And then it's Port Melbourne in third, who will be our broadcast game this afternoon, Port Melbourne versus the Northern Bulldogs. The Casey Scorpions, well, for all their doubters at the start of the season, they're still holding on to fourth position with the most healthiest percentage out of anybody in the top eight at 132.47. Peter German has those young boys firing, and Michael Stockdale, well, for a youngster and a little fella, he is doing some wonderful things for the KC Scorpions. Nuggety little back pocket, second in the best and fairest for the Gippsland Power last year, and a real find in season 2009. Wonder if he'll come under any AFL recruiters' noses at the end of the season. Northern Bull Ants, they're currently sitting in fifth position with 9 wins. Also with the Box Hill Hawks, they're separated by percentage. The Bull Ants with 107 even. The Box Hill Hawks with 102.42. Stanger, if you're listening, give the studio a call, 599-6977. Because I know you're at the game last weekend with that dramatic finish between the Box Hill Hawks and the Coburg Tigers. Sitting in 7th position with 8 wins, all by themselves on 32 points are the Cats. Their percentage of 97.51 could leave them just hanging there for a chance of falling out of the 8, but being one game clear at this stage of the season could be handy. Then we've got Sandringham and Collingwood, 8th and 9th, separated by percentage. The Zebras with 118.31 and the Pies with 102.21. The Coburg Tigers, well, they'll need to win the last 3 games if they are to play in the finals. A disappointing and shock loss to them last weekend. It's twice now they've lost with kicks after the siren this season, and they are really in trouble at the moment, the Coburg Tigers. They're probably the only team that could really press for finals there if they are to get on some momentum, but don't write off the Pies just yet. They could, after starting the season so well, they deserve a spot in the finals. We've got the Werribee Tigers. We'll speak to Simon Atkins in about 10 minutes or so to discuss their fortunes in season 2009, and will the Axe continue down there at Chirnside Park in season 2010? The Dollies, well, they've got 2 wins, and then it's the Bendigo Bombers. So that is the ladder up to round 16. The goal kickers. Well, we're hoping Stoughton could get to 100. He needs 34 goals in 4 matches, so he needs a couple of big hauls if he's to be a chance. He's on 66 goals for the season. Podsy Adley, he's on 60. Matthew Little, I don't know if he's been selected today, but he's been struggling with a quad strain for the Seagulls, and he has been missing the last few weeks, so we'll have to check out the team selections there. Going through now, we've also got Patrick Rose on 38 goals, Nathan Thompson on 31, Chris Bryan on 31, and Michael Newton on 28 goals for the season. And Williamstown have the bye this week, so we won't see Matthew Little add anything to his goal tally this weekend. Okay, we've got Port Melbourne sitting in third position at the moment, Jim. They're taking on the Northern Bull Ants, who really have been impressive at times in season 2009. This could shape up as one of the more interesting clashes definitely in round 17, but also for the season. At TAC Oval, Port Melbourne have not been defeated there in season 2009. They have not been defeated there, I think, since Gary Ayres has taken over as coach. So they're going into their second year of consecutive wins at home against the Northern Bull Ants, who best could definitely knock off the Northern Bull Ants side. So we'll see what happens there. This afternoon, that is going to be a big game. Port Melbourne versus the Northern Bull Ants. First bounce, Saturday afternoon coverage will start from 1 o'clock. As I mentioned, the ABC and the VFL will travel down to Morwell for the big game between the Casey Scorpions and the North Ballarat Roosters. I think it's going to be too far to travel for North Ballarat, and I think the Casey Scorpions could really knock them off this afternoon, even though North Ballarat Roosters will go through as favourites. Coburg versus the Bendigo Bombers. Well, Coburg need to win their last 3 games to have any chance of playing in the finals, and they can kick off their campaign this afternoon with a big win against the Bendigo Bombers. Geelong versus Sandringham. Well, this game is a real battle for that final 8th position. Geelong with 8-6. Sandringham in the 8 on percentage 7-7. The Pies will be hoping the Cats can get over the line. That's at Skilled Stadium at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'll bring you all the live updated scores from that venue during our broadcast. Sunday, bloody Sunday football here on KC Radio. We'll see us travel to Visy Park for the big game between Collingwood and the Werribee Tigers. We'll speak to Simon Atkins in roughly 2 or 3 minutes and talk about his chances this afternoon after they're coming back from the bye. And great to see Dominic Gleeson plays his 100th game for the Werribee Football Club this week. So that's a big game down there for the Tigers. And you think there might be half a chance to knock off the Pies, who have rested a couple of players and have a couple of changes there. And we'll see what happens in that game tomorrow afternoon. Secondary bounce Sunday will start from 1 o'clock. We've got Frankston versus the Box Hill Hawks from Frankston Park. Well, Box Hill have got themselves out of the jaws of defeat a couple of times in season 2009, and I'm sure the Dolphins will want to have their stamp on the finals campaign there this there tomorrow afternoon. Williamstown do have the bye, so North Ballarat will be desperate to try and regain some ground on their foes this afternoon when they're taking on the KC Scorpions. Your tip earlier on the Saturday morning show a couple of weeks back about the Cats, Jimbo.
Spot on.
They're sitting there in seventh position, so they have a big game.
I didn't realise it was going to be so good. I predicted they'd come good. They've lost one game or undefeated since?
Yeah, no, I think they've lost one game since that time. I don't actually have the fixture with me here, Jimbo. So, the Cats have been in really impressive form, and it's a big game this afternoon down there at Skilled Stadium, the Cats versus the Zebras.
And live on 97.73 SERFM, we do have the coach of the Werribee Tigers, Mr. Simon Atkins. Good morning.
Good morning, boys.
Morning, Simon, and welcome to the Saturday morning program. We thank you for giving up your time once again.
No problems at all.
Big weekend for the Werribee Tigers. Dominic Gleeson brings up his 100th game, but also a chance to keep that slight final chances open with a win against the Collingwood side today. I should say.
Yeah, look, it's fantastic that Dom plays his 100th VFL game, and he got too far away from playing 100 with us, so he's obviously the captain, and really wrapped for him to get to that personal milestone. But yeah, look, to play Collingwood, and probably, we're not talking about finals, it's just that we need to win some games and get to towards the end of the year with a little bit more consistency than what we've had through the season.
Well, there was two moments that I thought that have really put the pressure on your football club was when you lost by 6 points to Port Melbourne at home, and then you travelled down to Frankston Park and lost another game there. Destiny is in the Werribee Football Club's hands. You have a run home that sees you play Collingwood, Coburg and Geelong, three teams that are fighting for that final eight position. You win those three games and all of a sudden you're a big chance of securing that final eight spot.
Yeah, slip it in there. I agree totally with you that there's always games that you look back and say, well, that's the game that's probably going to, either stop you from the finals or get in a certain position in the ladder. But Port Melbourne game, we played really good footy and had the wind in the last quarter and simply couldn't get over the top of Port Melbourne. And, Frankston, we went down there and with no ideas of where, because where you look at the ladder, we're down there with Frankston and they just got some momentum in the last quarter and really got over the top of us. So they're two disappointing games, but we'll move forward and starting with tomorrow.
Well, that's football, isn't it? That's just the way it goes. There's moments in every season where you can look back and reflect and it could have been done better. When you look at season 2009 from an outsider's perspective, you face many injuries and many changes to that senior lineup, but the opportunities you've given to so many young kids this year and some of those kids have really stood up under some pressure of playing VFL senior football. A couple of the kids probably a little bit advanced on where they should be in their development, but when you're giving them the chance, Axe, they really have stepped up and played well for the Werribee Football Club.
Yeah, look, that's the real bonus that we've got. We've played 15 first gamers, and look, to every one of them has earned their game, and that's again where their improvement comes, because they know that although second year of our development of a 3-year plan, that we're just simply not going to play kids because that's where we're at. But they've really put their head down and earned their spot, and played in some really big games, which can only benefit their senior career. So that's the real positive, that we've been able to get so many first gamers in and still remain competitive in a lot of games. So,
another bye. Did the boys have the weekend off, or did you get a couple of the senior boys together and really try and ascertain where you guys can finish off this season? Because, the future is really in your hands. If you play good football and can win four games home, I don't see any reason why you can't play in the finals.
No, that's right. Look, they had the whole weekend off. We had a decent hit out Wednesday, and then Friday night we tapered down a little bit. Our breaks are really designed with my fitness guy, Doug Brown, and we sit down and plan the whole season. And with the data that we collect on the players, it really indicates to us what we should do on buys. So we, again, because we've got young, inexperienced players running around and the demands of VFL footy, which I think this year, again, it's gone up probably, another 10% or whatever. It's definitely harder and more physical, and and the running components got harder. So we gave them the weekend off, and they came back fresh, and they've trained up really well.
Now, I guess going forward to Collingwood, have you tried to focus on just how important these wins are? You've said you've forgotten about finals, you're just coming out to play good football. How confident are the boys going into the final four rounds now?
Yeah, look, there's a reasonable amount of confidence within the group that but the key for us is that everyone's got to bring their, not so much their best game, but come along and really have an input into the game. And I say to people, there'll be four or five blokes on Sunday that won't have a good game, but the other things that you can apply to the game and to the team, that's what will be the difference between us winning the next couple of games or whatever. So they're excited. We are generally excited. Collingwood's got a good team in, so we'll come along and play to our strengths. And the main thing that I've said to the group is just the consistency of effort right across the board.
Now, Simon, looking at yourself, I mean, I think you're into your fifth season now as senior coach at the Werribee Football Club. You mentioned just earlier in the interview you're in a second year of a three-year plan. Does the destiny of this season hold your coaching career at Werribee in that, or do you see yourself going ahead in season 2010, regardless of what happens in the results in the final few games?
Well, I've started discussions with the footy club. And normally, since I've been there, as you said, for 5 years, I've got to put out of the way before sort of halfway. But with the circumstances we're in, with losing some games, we sort of put it on hold. So the discussions have started with the football club. As you said, I'm keen to finish off that 3 year sort of rebuild. I know the football club are looking at whether they want a full time coach or continue to go along the same line. So, look, the discussions have started, and we hope that there's some form of decision within the next couple of weeks.
So, being a part time coach, you're the only coach with Shannon Grant that does have a part-time position as a senior coach. Do you see that affecting your chances of going further as a senior coach next year?
Look, that again depends on the board that have been put together to make the coach's decision. I mean, I've got a really good job, and my boss allows me to I put in between 30 and 35 hours a week to the footy club.
Okay.
So
it's nearly a full-time commitment.
Well, yeah, look, and that's because I've got a really good employer, and he knows where I'm going or what I want to do with my football. So, but again, it's up to the football club what they want to do, which direction they want to go into.
Now, the alignment, we know it's always going to affect for any team. Now, being a half alignment and the Kangaroos having some injuries, have you seen that put some extra pressure on yourself and trying to get these boys up every week when you could have a couple of AFL listed players unavailable?
Look, I suppose one thing that I say is you can't say injuries are a concern, because that's a fact of life, they happen. So at the end of the day, if someone gets injured, what I do as a coach, you move on and there's another opportunity for someone else. So look, we've had some injuries, Kangaroos have had some injuries, but we've also been able to develop and get some consistency in some younger players with the Kangaroos. And, fantastic for Levi Greenwood last week to play on Judd and do a good job. And that's the role that he's been doing with us for the last 5 or 6 weeks. So there's been some real positives from our side for the alignment, that we've been able to push younger players up in some decent form. So injuries happen, you just got to move on.
Well, one player that's been in fantastic form in season 2009, and I'm sure you agree, Simon, just how good young Barlow's been. He's continued to impress and taken on more responsibility as one of those senior footballers at the Werribee Football Club. But you must be impressed by the output he puts in every week. Whatever challenge you throw him, whether it's in the midfield or back line or forward line, Michael Barlow, you really have to go and see his output on the football field, because there's not many players that leave just everything on the field like he does.
Yeah, that's certainly right. And look, I think you hit the nail on the head. He's really taken on board to become a senior player. I have a control group. It's a group of players that really run the destiny of the playing group, and people have voted in. And I asked the player, do they want to be involved in the start of the season? Mick just said straight up, "Yeah, I want to be in that. I want to give the football club some leadership and some direction." And to be able to play, as you said, in the three areas and play really well, and he does exhaust himself on the ground. He he really leaves nothing out there, and I think he's had a really good year.
What do you think his chances are of being recruited?
Look, I'd like to say that there's nothing that he hasn't done that wouldn't say that he can be recruited.
Yeah.
He's a 6'2" midfielder, an elite runner, can play centre half forward, half back, wing, on ball. So I just don't think he can do anything else. If there's a recruiter out there that's seen him, and there's a knock on him, I'd like to know what the knock is.
Well, one player that you did recruit to the Werribee Football Club that definitely has... I find him a funny footballer, the way he goes about it. It's Tim Bongetti. His performance against Port Melbourne was just exactly what the Werribee Football Club needed. He got out there and niggled the big blokes and took some bumps and was scragging and, in the back line, then went to the forward line, provides that marking option. Tim Bongetti, he was a little bit of a wild child down at Tasmania, but he seems to really have his head focused on doing the team things down at Werribee and turning out to be a great partner with Nathan Thompson.
Yeah, he does have that little bit of anger in him, and he loves to get in the trenches, and it's great for Ford to do that, and what we've been able to do this year, because you spoke about our injuries, we've probably lost one or two key backs, and Bongo didn't come to our football club as a backman, but he's done a little bit of that in the past. He's got a good spring and that competitive nature. We've been able to use him at both ends. We'll continue to try and get his form up as a forward, which he's really working hard on. You say about being down in Tassie. He's worked on his skin folds, his fitness. Everything's pointing in the right direction. So, look, he does give us that little bit of flexibility to be able to go and play on tools in the back end because of his competitive nature.
Often unheralded, but I'm just impressed with the way he's gone about his football and his VFL career. Is Constable Scott Howard. Continues to impress every week. You mentioned you're a little bit short down the back half, and Tegan Henderson is starting to get himself fit and providing some support down there. But Scotty really does use the ball so well off that half back line, and a real general for some of those younger players coming through. He's been quite impressive in season 2009. I have to go as far as saying it's probably been one of his best, more consistent seasons.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I think, as you said, Constable with Scotty doing shift work, I think that sort of comes into his play. If he comes off night shift, and his game does tend to drop away, and we've tried to work on that this year, and I totally agree. We've been especially over maybe the last month, five games, he's really been consistent. He's a genuine rebound and backman. He can play on 6'3" or fours. I mean, he played on Podgy Hardley when we played Geelong. Podgy had kicked four up to half time, and so he goes to Podgy Hardley, and Podgy kicked one in the second half. So that's the value that Scott Howard has to our footy club. And he generally uses the footy really, really well. He's got some speed, marks the football. So just an outstanding footballer for us.
Now, taking on the Pies, obviously they're going to be filled with Collingwood-listed players, but doesn't make them impregnable. They can definitely be defeated at times. Where do you see your strong suit against the Pies?
Yeah, it's funny. If you look at the team as picked, we played them with 22 listed last time. They'll have 22 listed this time. But I look at that in two things. Six or seven of those boys are first-year players. And, I think it gets rode up a hell of a lot that there's 22 listed players. But in actual fact, there is 18, 19-year-old kids running around straight out of the TAC Cup and stuff like that. So, but I think our strength is our ability to win the ball in that back end.
Yeah.
And saying that with Rocker down there and, Chris Bryan might start down there. They've got some smalls that have got some good goal sense, but ability to win the ball in the back end to be able to give our forward line the chance to kick a winning score. So that's where I think it'll be won. I think really evenly matched in the midfield, so I expect that to just be a battle right through the game. But if our backs can get us first use and move the footy into our forward end, I think that's where we'll probably win it.
Marty Pask, he... hasn't really found his feet in season 2009. Started in the forward line, and you threw him back when you needed some experience and height down there. Where's his best football, and can you see him fitting into that forward line with Thompson and also Bongetti?
Yeah, look, Henderson's back this week, so we're starting to get some competitiveness for spots amongst our tall forwards. Look, Pasky in the first half, I think he kicked maybe 18 goals, 15 or whatever. Had to really work hard because Tomo was in and out, Hendo was in and out, and to be the mainstay. So I think at the end of the day, just sort of wore him down a bit. He's in the twos, and look, he'll be get back. There's no problems with that because of his marking that he supplies. So he's just got to work on a couple of things, and I've got no doubt that once we sort of get him going and we can swing Bongetti and Henderson in that forward end, we've really got some real power marking forwards.
Well, Simon, you're one of the most experienced coaches in the VFL, and you're back to the wall, but that's the best way that Werribee like to play their football. If there was any team sitting in 11th who can make it into the final eight, I think it will be the Werribee Football Club. And we thank you so much for giving up your time here on the Saturday Morning Footy Show. I know KC Radio, we have a good relationship with the Werribee Football Club, and secretly we're hoping you guys can figure in the final. So we wish you all the best, and hopefully you can knock off the Pies tomorrow afternoon at Visy Park.
Thanks very much, and KC Radio always support our footy club, so let's hope, and it's got to start Sunday with a win against Collingwood.
Let's hope so. Thanks, Axe. Bye. Have a good day. Cheers. Simon Atkins there joining us. He's actually making his way out to the reserve grade competition this morning. They're playing at 20 past 10, and really do thank him for joining us on the program. Williamstown Crane Hire is Simon Atkins' employer, so if you need any crane hire, you've got some big constructions going, make sure you give them a call and ask to speak to Simon. He'll be able to look after all your crane hire needs.